To set the stage for the current debate, let's quickly review a few recent episodes. And I put these up to show you how lively and provocative and really effective institutional developments have been in the early childhood world. Some of these you remember, some of these you maybe vague memories. Very quickly, in the 1988 presidential debate, Marion Wright Edelman and other advocates convinced Michael Dukakis to propose a national child care program. And in fact, Bush 1 actually had to come back with his own proposal. And in 1990, he signed a Democratic bill, well, largely Democratic bill, to create the child care block grant program, which ironically, well, I shouldn't say ironically, interestingly, was voucherized. So now we had $2 billion in new child care funding outside of Head Start, focused on a wider range of families, including the working poor that Hero was talking about this morning. But it was voucherized in the name of parental choice. Another development is the new infant brain research, the Starting Points report from the Carnegie Foundation. I also indicate here a maturing media strategy. Michael Levine and others at Carnegie not only enlisted the best neuroscientists, they enlisted the best media experts. Moving forward, welfare to work. Some of you may remember Bill Clinton vetoed two welfare reform bills in 1996 before agreeing to a bill that had even more spending for child care. And in fact, in the height of welfare reform, by the late 90s, the so-called Clinton child care money was pumping about $5 billion additional dollars into child care and preschool than before welfare reform. So this goes back to Hero's point about the efficacy of work supports. And then my final point here is the notion of universal preschool and the coalition going Hollywood. I live in California, where nothing happens politically unless you have a movie star or director behind your cause. And as you know, Rob Reiner has been a mover and shaker in this field. And we had a controversial ballot proposition last year that would have created a universal pre-K program at the cost of about $2.4 billion a year, and I want to come back to that in a minute. So given these developments, again, the question really is, how do we build institutions? Given this progress, given additional funding, if the goal is to come up with more stimulating and supportive and caring environments for kids, how do we do that institutionally? Okay. Now, let me say a couple things that have to do with theory, and some of this has to do as much with social theory as it does with the theory of child development. The second-order question of how we do this is difficult in a liberal democratic society that attempts to occasionally and at least rhetorically respect demographic and cultural variety. At the same time, we eagerly seek social integration, we eagerly seek social norms, we eagerly seek sameness in how we raise kids. That is the family values agenda from the political right. So on the one hand, as a society becomes more pluralistic on the ground, we want to respect different ways of ways in which kids are raised. And in some of my talks, I argue that Broffenbrenner and Bob Levine and Vonnie McLeod and Cynthia Garcia Cole and Barbara Bowman have sort of achieved equal status with Piaget. That is, we recognize cultural variety is as big a driver of child development as biological maturation. So we want to recognize all that variation, but at the same time, we believe social integration should be a driving policy force to bring us together to move towards equity. And so we're sort of stuck in this philosophical quandary over whether equity means sameness. Does equity mean homogeneity? Or does equity and social justice mean respect for cultural variety and respect for difference, of allowing parents to raise kids according to their vision of child development, not according to the vision of the State Department of Education? So these issues are tough. And at the same time, as we understand the social ecology of child rearing, organizational sociologists talk about the ecology or the environmental influences on the nature of organizations. So at the same time we recognize variety in child development, we see a preschool movement that in some quarters is attaching itself to K-12 school reform and says the best way to raise test scores is to send all four-year-olds to preschool. So the organization, the institutions that are driving the child care and preschool world, those organizations are also adapting to a wider ecology. And that ecology for the moment is dominated by the discourse of No Child Left Behind, the discourse of accountability, the discourse of sort of beating up on teachers because it must be the teacher's fault that we've got all this achievement. We have all these achievement gaps. So our notion of difference, our notion of variety is encouraging and perplexing at the same time. Okay, let's turn for a moment away from the philosophical discourse and more to practical and direct problems. And these are the problems that I want to spend a few minutes on, and we might get further into this during the discussion. One is affordability. One is the unequal supply of preschool slots for children aged 2 to 4. Third is the wide variation in quality, high and low, especially for infant care, but also at the preschool level. And the fourth issue, of course, is what the one that dominates in the minds of advocates and policymakers, which is how do we raise the public money to act on our public will to address the how question, to build more sustainable institutions for young kids. First of all, let me say that the bulk of our four-year-olds are already in some sort of center-based care. This was an issue in California with the Reiner Initiative, because to hear the advocates talk, only 10% of our kids were in preschool. So there's this sort of notion out there in the advocacy world that not many kids are actually attending preschool. In 2003, 66% of all four-year-olds were attending a preschool center of some kind, of some level of quality. There are clearly quality problems, but in terms of simple access, it's over two-thirds. In 1970, only 28% of all four-year-olds were in center-based care. 28% in 1970. 33 years later, 66%. These enrollment rates, of course, are lower for three-year-olds, but in 2003, 41% of all of our three-year-olds nationwide were in center-based care, and that's up from 12% in 1970. So, in part because of these policy developments that I had up earlier, we've seen this tremendous growth in access. And that advances the equity agenda, right? Before getting to the quality problem, we've at least advanced equity from the point of view of access. Okay, but access problems do remain.